My friend, Ryan Lynch.
Matthew,
how are you, my guy?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Dude, thanks.
I'm happy to see you. Because I see you, you know, once in a blue moon. And so just to the opportunity to sit on a couch with you.
I think the last time I saw you was when we saw Glengarry Glen Ross. And we just happened to be at the same show.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, so we just happened to run into each other. Yeah. And
It was great because I was with my wife and...
Newly married.
Thank you. I'm excited about that. But the best thing about that whole situation was that I bumped into somebody, a newer friend, a friend in the creative space with my wife. And so it just made her think like, oh, wow, Ryan's like making friends. not even like Ryan's doing it. Like Ryan's making comedy connections. It was like, oh, wow, Ryan is growing as a friend.
Oh, that's so sweet, dude. You know, it's
funny. He knows other people that are new.
Dude, that's so sweet. And I love to hear that, too, because it's funny. One of my, I keep, you know, a little log of, like, goals every year, especially, like, in the comedy space. And I just had one last year where it was, like, I just wanted to make more comedy friends. And so that was, like, fun. My fiance, like, is, like, watching me in the same way, like, just meeting all these people, having a good time. She's like,
they're proud of us.
They're so proud.
We're good guys. We're great boys.
Exactly. And they locked us down. Ryan, I like to start with compliments on this podcast.
Okay.
And the one I have for you and everyone listening needs to go follow you on Instagram and TikTok right fucking now.
Oh.
Because I was looking at some of the TikToks and Instagram reels that you post. And they fucking kill me, dude.
Thank you.
The one about the business marketing college guy doing the presentation about Cracker Barrel. Dude, because I went to business school too. That
was brutal,
killed
dude.
Me, dude. That was every presentation. And it was like the same tone. Then you did another one too when TikTok got banned. And you, oh my God, and you were reading your book. You're like, got two pages, and then it comes back. Oh my God, thank God. Dude, you're fucking hysterical.
Thanks,
on
dude.
There.
Dude. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, of course, man. And then I also, this meant a lot to me too. This was 2 years ago when we had first met. I was working out a story that's going to be in my solo show that I'm running in the fall. And it was very, very early stages. And I remember it was at Black Cat. And dude, you were so kind. You like ran out and told me. You were like, dude, that story is so good. And I'm really excited to like see it grow. I still think about that, man. That meant so much. So I'm so grateful to have you on. And dude, you're just a funny, funny fucking guy.
Thanks,
holy
my
shit.
Friend.
Yeah, dude.
Ooh, I love a compliment.
I'm so glad because like, I have a lot of comedians on and they're like, oh, fuck, this time it's coming. So it's they can't take the compliments, in other words, where it's just like they're like squeamish about it.
Yeah. Do you feel like that, like performing and things like that,
like,
post show? Do you feel like a guilt or like a shame of like, this is me projecting. So this is a very specific question.
No, please, but,
how do you feel when people say, oh my God, that was amazing?
It doesn't take a lot of times. That's a really good question. My main concern is I always try to, make the other person know how much that means to me that they say it. So my thing is like, I'll always say it means the world to me because it does a lot of times. And I like if someone comes up to me, I'm trying to get better at it. So like if someone comes up to me and says something nice after a show, I keep like a little wins log and I like write it down. And I was like, this person said this and this was very nice and stuff like that. But it's very hard for it to like really stick and to take it in. How about you? Do you get that too?
I do too. And let me just preface as we talk about this, we're not psychopaths. We are just, we care about maintaining our friendships and our relationships, and we want to offer the proper reaction to what is being given to us while also internally clocking that maybe it's, you know, you're overthinking like the as to why this might be happening.
Yeah. And do you ever, it's like the big thing for me is I'm like, oh, they were just being nice, like they didn't mean it, so I'll always like defer to that. But then funny enough, I was like talking with my therapist about it and they were like, you don't have any evidence of that, right? So that's a narrative that you're making up in your head. So you have to take the evidence that you had, which is that they, for whatever reason, wanted to say that to you after the show. And I was like, fuck you. That makes too much sense. And I don't see them anymore.
Yeah. Good on you for doing therapy. I've wanted to do it for a long time. And
really? You don't do it?
I go online. It happens every couple months. I go online. I'm looking for therapists. I'm seeing who's in network. And then I just close my laptop and like go to bed, or just I just like, okay, this is great information. Laptop closed. Going to get a coffee, and I'm just not going to do it until 2 months from now when I check the same website again, and then not do it then.
And it's like you'll find that you're like, oh, that person actually aligns nicely with what I need, and then you just close it and like go do whatever. You know what it is? It's such a process to find someone, because it's like you have to do multiple sessions to find someone that you really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And like that takes time, effort, and money. And then it may not work out with them. So you have to restart the process again if you don't like really connect with them. It's hard, man.
Did you go through a couple?
I did. I went through, I saw one guy who was like a life coach style guy and like wasn't like a he had like a certification. He didn't have like a degree.
Okay. And did you opt in for that specific type of person on your first attempt, or was that just who he happened to be?
That was just who he happened to be.
And his style.
Yeah. So like I showed up like to his house, and like we met at, like in his basement, which was like fine. It was like a professional setting. It wasn't like anything like that.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically during our session, he was like, yeah, man, I'm working full time. I'm doing like different certificates and everything on like, you know, at the same time, like a multitask. And I'm like really getting after it. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if I want that in a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, one quick thing. And I love, because I love your producer brain is showing, because I love your like checking the cameras, making sure they're rolling, and then also like over here. I love that.
That's, yeah, I just want to make sure my shoe's not in.
Oh no, I gotcha. No, it's funny. That is the challenge with this setup, is that I'm also producing and like looking.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, because we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but like, was like, does that, like, does, do you feel that kicking in, like your producer brain, like while we're on the show or anything? Because you produced a podcast for a while.
I guess just, yeah, red lights, red, like, Yeah, a lot of peeking over and stuff.
Yeah.
Produced a podcast for a bunch of years, and because if something's wrong, then whoever you're recording for, I mean, we're doing this together and we're chilling and we're hanging out, but like you'll get in big trouble. Like that's it.
Right. It's
dude, it needs to record. If it doesn't record, it's not like a report where it's like, oh, it's okay, I'll send it to you tomorrow. It's like, no, people got together to sit down to do this at a specific time, and for them to leave, for it to not have evidence of have happened.
Yeah, if you like lose it completely. Dude, so I've told the story in the podcast before, so I apologize to the listeners, but I have to tell you because you'll appreciate it. I had Ari Findling on this podcast. We had an unbelievable episode, hour and 45. He really opened up. It was like a beautiful, beautiful episode. And it was exactly what I wanted it to be. He's awesome. So, so nice. He leaves the bookstore where I was filming it. I was originally recording on a Zoom recorder, and I pressed the record button to pause the recording. Doesn't save down the audio.
Uh-huh.
I sat in the bookstore for like 30 minutes, and I was like, oh my fucking God, what am I going to do? I lost all the audio. The camera's rolling, thankfully. I look, and thank God I thought of this. These cameras record audio when I'm like filming them. So I had to take the audio from the cameras, realign it with like, you know, resync it and everything.
Uh-huh.
But the quality wasn't great. So I had to like go in. I had to like edit it on like some AI software to like make it usable, and then I had to realign it and resynchronize it with the video. It took me like 5 hours to do, but oh man, if I lost that, have you ever lost anything?
And so it was salvageable.
Thankfully. And like if you look in the episode, I don't think it's too terrible. There are some moments where like the laughing kind of cuts off and it's a little weird, but like I think to the naked eye, it's okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever like been in a situation where you lost footage like that? Or
yeah, that's happened around Christmas time. I just accidentally reset. What's it called when you format? I formatted a card that had four angles of one of the podcast host angle on it, and just instantly realized, oh, and then it was just toast for four episodes of our show.
Oh no!
Which we did not have time to re-record. I let him know right away. I was like, they're gone. I messed up. They're gone.
Yeah.
And so I used four different photo frames, and I would splice them in to show his reaction. So if he was laughing at something in the podcast, I would use a picture of him laughing. If he was asking a question,
okay,
so a photo of him like that. But like, it's not the same.
Yeah, no, it's, how was the reaction? I mean, without naming names or anything, like, was it tough?
It's all good. It's my guy Julia. Totally fair.
No, it's okay.
It's totally fair. I take pride in like those errors don't happen often. It happened right around Christmas time. Just nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
He was right. Like he was totally fair about it.
The tech side really is like its own animal. It took me a year and a half to like learn how to do this setup and everything before like we actually started, because we started recording this podcast beginning of this year, beginning of 2025. But the process to do all this started, I mean, January 2024. It was, I mean, and so many trips to Best Buy.
Yeah.
Nobody could help me or anything. Dude, another reason I'm so grateful for you, dude. I have asked you, I feel like, too many podcast questions, producing questions. You always get back to me, and you actually recommended the audio equipment we use now, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, dude.
It's been so, so good.
I'm glad you got it. I'm glad it works.
Yeah, man. The sound mixer is so good. And other thing we want to talk about, you just got married.
Yeah.
So got exciting.
Married in May.
How was the wedding? Everything went smoothly?
Got married in Massachusetts. One second. I can't stop with the podcast equipment for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The questions that you asked me, I could only respond to you because I actually, like, I know this machine. If you ask for anything more intense or, like, professional, or, like, if you ask me any follow-up questions, I would have just said you should look something up. But that, like, I'm not a pod expert. I just know this red box work. Red box work good for audio. That's, dude, all I know. And I don't know. I barely know any more than you do, but red box work.
Dude, in my mind, you're a genius with audio mixing equipment.
It's really just red box. Red box work. Red box work all the time.
And
audio good most time, all the time.
Dude, can I
That's
tell you?
It.
When I first plugged this machine into my laptop too, my laptop immediately shut down. Like, there was a coding error and I lost everything on my laptop.
What?
Dude,
no.
I didn't tell you about this.
No. Red box.
Red box.
What
no.
the hell?
Dude,
how did it format your computer?
Oh, dude. So I took it to the guy at Best Buy and I said, hey, I plugged this in and now my laptop won't start. And he goes, oh yeah, dude, these things, they don't get along with Microsoft laptops. And I was like, it said nowhere. I wrote such a, okay, this is.
You wrote, a scathing review?
Scathing, dude.
Can we read it?
Even worse, let me see if I can pull it up.
Can we read it?
Oh my God, we should.
Because you wrote a bad review, meaning that you didn't get a refund.
Dude, not even that. I used
Is this a new computer?
It was like 2 years old. It was like newish. Dude, oh my God. Let me
Is
see
this
if I
a new computer?
This one here?
Yeah.
No. So what I had them do at Best Buy, oh my God, beautiful. I have this email right here. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, I love it.
I'm so excited to read this to you. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't. I have it open. So this isn't, I didn't get a new computer after it, but like this, it was like 2 years old. So like I plug it in, laptop like shuts down or whatever. So I take it to the guy at Best Buy. He's like, yeah, these machines don't like whatever code is at Microsoft. So I have to reset your computer to factory settings so that the code will work. And I was like, okay, does that mean I'm going to lose everything on my laptop? He's like, yeah. Did you save it down? And I was like, I back up all like I write on like Drive, Google Drive, like iCloud, like stuff like that. So all my comedy stuff was like saved and backed up. But like password, shit like that, like, you know, resumes, all that was like gone. So I wrote this review to Focusrite. And dude, even more embarrassing was I wrote in ChatGPT. I said, give me a scathing email to write to Focusrite. Okay, are you ready for this? Here we go.
Yeah.
This is after my laptop shut down.
I can't wait for to hear this from you. Because as nice as you are, I bet there's a meanie deep down,
dude,
behind the keyboard.
And you know what? It's even like it's deeper, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, it's just okay. Here we go.
I'm ready.
You ready for this? You ready for the subject? All
right. So I work for Focusrite. It's 8 a.m. on a Monday morning. I had a bad mental health weekend. Something really bad happened to my family, and like everyone's alive, and like it'll be okay. But just like a lot of drama.
Sure.
A lot of drama happened. And I hate my job at Focusrite, and I get to work, and my boss is so mean to me for no reason. I'm great at my job, but I'm pissed and I'm annoyed, and no one's taking me for interviews at other competing red box good music audio working companies. I get on my computer, I check my email, and there's a message from Matt.
And it starts, subject line, urgent in all caps, okay? Urgent : your software download ruined my computer. Okay. God, this is so embarrassing. Here we go. It says, hello, I am beyond frustrated and irate with the catastrophic failure caused by your 2i2 third generation driver software. After downloading and attempting to install your driver, my computer crashed completely in bold. Crashed completely is in bold, and is now rendered unusable, also in bold. This is not just an inconvenience. It is a blatant failure on your part that has caused me significant loss of time, productivity, and trust in your brand.
Oh.
End of first paragraph. There's more. Your negligence has left me with a non-functional computer, and I demand immediate guidance on how to fix this issue, compensation for the damage caused, and assurances that you will fix this problem promptly for the sake of all your customers. I await your response. Sincerely, Matt.
At least you were sincere.
I try to be, you know.
Like, all the best, Matt.
All the best. Also, happy Monday. And then, okay, so by the time they got back to me, I sent that on May 20th. They got back to me May 22nd, and by that time I had resolved the issue, and I didn't respond.
Coward. Just a, my guy.
Oh, it was just a horrible... there's something about, there's an art to writing a scathing email, I think. And that was all, I literally plugged into ChatGPT. I was so blind with rage.
Yeah.
I was like, because I was afraid I was going to have to like get a new laptop. I was like pissed, but they fixed it and they didn't, you know.
Good.
So.
I love, I knew it's, what a good angry word. It's just one of those words that sticks from vocab in high school. Irate.
Oh,
it's a word.
It's my starting word on Wordle.
It's a word. Irate. Let's get five. I-R-A-T. Yep.
Yeah, three vowels.
It's a great word to substitute for mad or angry.
Yes.
It's an easy synonym that makes you sound very smart.
Yes. Oh, and God, don't I do that always. I try and always sub out a word. And, you know, a lot of times what I'm doing now, and I don't know if it's great, I plug in a word I'm not sure entirely if it's the right substitute. You ever do that? Where like you take a chance and see if anyone corrects you.
Yeah.
I wish I could think of an example.
The thing is, exactly what you're talking about. If you just say it confidently and with conviction.
Yes.
They know what you mean.
Right.
I make up words, but like, or like combine, like you make up words, like not like flugel, but like you make up a word you know, you're at a restaurant and it takes forever to order the food. So they have to fix how you're stumbling how they orderify, you know, the orderification.
Yes.
I don't know. That's example. But
no,
like,
but I get orderification. Like I get that.
You say with confidence.
Yes.
They know what you mean.
I didn't even while you were talking, I was like, I buy in orderification. That makes sense. The one that came to mind is fluidity. I don't know if that's a word. Like, I was, would it be fluidness or something like that? I remember I said that on an interview, like, recently, and I was like, well, all right, I'm just going to skip over that. I'm not sure
you're,
if that.
You're even more fine than making up a word, because you're taking a word and just extending it with a little flair.
And in an interview context, they're like, maybe I'll add that to my vocabulary. You know what I mean? Like, if it sounds right. Dude, you just reminded me, too, just with the restaurants, where's the free bread? Dude. Video, look it up on Instagram and TikTok, people. Another one of a Ryan Lynch fire video. Where's the free bread?
Thanks, dude.
They don't do it anymore.
No, I do highlight. I've noticed that to anyone listening, before COVID, Italian restaurants, these nice restaurants where you're gonna be spending a lot of money, they'll give out a little free bread or some crackers and some, you know, nice organic butter and olive oil and little dips. And it's just, you know, we're still gonna order salads and calamari, but like it's very appreciated to, you know, once you sit down, you have a little basket of warm bread and butter. And I've just noticed that, and that was always complimentary. You never saw basket of bread on a menu. Post COVID, restaurants trying to make their money back. I get it. I get it, but it's annoying what once was a nice, welcome to our establishment, let me make you feel at home, turns into this transactional and overrated appetizer that once was a little peace offering and a howdy do, welcome to my restaurant.
Yeah.
And so that makes me irate.
Tying it all back. And now it's just like a focaccia for like $7. And it's so, I think about that every time I go to a restaurant. Where's the free bread, man?
Yeah. I used to work at a restaurant
called
Focacceria. I was a dessert waiter because I wasn't confident enough in explaining menu.
Wait, this restaurant had a dessert waiter and like an entree waiter?
I was a glorified busboy and they called me the dessert expert. And so I would go around and I would pitch them on the dessert specials.
Did you have like the little, like the, you would carry them? Like, you know how they have the cakes
or
whatever?
No, not like that.
Okay.
The tiny little restaurant in New Jersey, Focacceria. Great, great, great food.
Where
great focaccia in Baskin Ridge.
Okay. Are you from Jersey originally?
Yes.
Where in Jersey are you from?
Somerset County.
Okay, gotcha.
Are you?
No, I'm from Long Island originally.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the desserts, I would go around, I would pitch them on the specials and stuff like that. So I was a dessert waiter for a while.
Okay.
We had free bread, and it was the best bread ever. They put so much time and effort and definitely money because the ingredients were so nice, and it was always free. And so that's just what like triggers me when shit bread costs money.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Dude, and that's the thing. And I notice now there are so many restaurants out there that'll be like, and this is like a little recency bias, because we just went out to this restaurant. And I don't give a fuck. Nino's. Don't ever go there on Long Island in on the North Shore. Fucking garbage.
Yeah, why?
And like, it was one of these establishments, like all these like ritzy, like, you know, Wall Street people go there, and it's like they make it expensive so that it's like popular, if that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people go there because it's expensive.
They Montaukify it.
And yeah. Oh, don't get, dude.
That's on this couch. That's words on, that word came from this couch.
Montaukify. Montaukify. We literally, I mean, Nino's is garbage, and that's his whole story. But it, like, basically, these restaurants will, like, you know, and they just, like, there's no, it was such an expensive meal, and the food was shit. Montauk, we went for, Montauk used to be, did you ever go to Montauk when you were little?
No, but I think I remember an Instagram story, like, fun, dude, couple weekend, wind, dog, grass.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's love, what you guys did. I remember that.
We did, yes. And, like, we went for Tay's birthday, because, like, we grew up, when you grew up on Long Island, like, 20 years ago, it used to be, like, you would go to Montauk, and it was, like, very family-friendly. Like, you would go, they had mini-golf, and, like, you'd go to the beach, and it was, you know, it was, like, an affordable family, like, getaway, very, like, coastal. Like, think, you know, when you go to a restaurant, and there's just, like, an anchor hanging? That was the vibe. You know what I mean? And, like, a ship steering wheel? Like, that was the vibe. Now, when you go to Montauk, it's, like, fucking, like, West Village. Like, it's just ritzy, and, like, there's a yoga studio next to like a new coffee place, and like it is just, and it's so expensive. I think we stayed at a place, we did 3 nights, Wednesday to Saturday, so not even like prime, mm-hmm, you know, days or whatever. It was $1,700 just for the stay. Crazy. And then like every meal was like $200 plus. Like, it was so expensive. We had an amazing time though, so like we love it out there, but it's like, dude, it's just, it's lost all of its like charm and like local appeal, you know what I mean? And that's like, that's what's happening now. It's just, it was Montaukified.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's everything. And now I'm seeing all these articles. Like, I moved to New York. You moved here to be close to the comedy. Like, we're here for, like, the comedy scene,
yeah,
and other reasons, too. But, like, you know, like, there's reason to, like, go into the city and you know, be creative and, like, go after stuff. This is a place where you go to get after stuff. And there's a lot of people moving here for the sake of just, like, this is part of my journey.
Yeah.
And, like, that's guys and gals. And so, you know, when I'm biking through the West Village to go to a mic or something, I don't know why. I'm a white guy that lives in Williamsburg, like the new West Village. It will be looked at the way people look down upon West Village people or the Montauk people in 10 years as they do to them today. I'm there now, which is almost there, but I go through West Village and I just like am disgruntled. I'm like, this is like, this isn't a city. Like everyone, yeah, like, or I was just like, this is just so, it's so commercial. It's so, I don't know. There's definitely was culture there. And I know I'm in Brooklyn taking, you know, my stance or like my spot there, but like New York used to be fun. And I don't know.
No, dude, it's you're so right. And then just, I don't know, maybe it's like, I don't know why I'm noticing like all these transplants now. Like I was on the subway and we lost power on the subway and like it was stopped for like 5-10 minutes. You know how it just like does that sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like these women literally like looked at each other. Oh, we lost power, whatever. And they said, all right, we're like, you know, we lost power. We're going to be stopped for a little bit. Oh my God, what do we do? Oh my God, should we do something? This is crazy. What are we going to do? Like out loud on a quiet train. And it's like, I was 3 minutes away from just being like, shut the fuck up. This happens. We're going to be fine. You're literally just making people like more anxious on the train. Like it's going to happen on the subway. And like we got power back in like 5 minutes, but you know, not the most interesting story, but it's just, you know, something I pay attention to now.
It's eye opening about you, Matt, to expose someone's trauma and minimize it. That just says a lot. That just says a lot. You should.
You're like, I thought you were one guy, and now you're another on this podcast.
You hate people that like minor inconveniences. That's my crew. So what's going on? You should have wanted to like, yeah, we should come up with a plan. It really, really, that would have given you the Gen Z stare.
What's the Gen Z stare?
It's when someone's brain breaks for half a second and they aren't getting what they wanted with their initial thing that they requested or were expecting, and so they kind of act dumb, like. So, like, if you're Gen Z, and like I see these TikToks of these servers being like, I get the Gen Z stare all the time when I tell someone that we're out of whatever they ordered. So, okay. If like someone, some 20-year-old guy orders like a smokehouse burger at a restaurant, and then she's like, okay, we got it. And then she goes away. Then she comes back and she's like, hey, we're actually out of the smokehouse burger. They'll look like, as in they don't understand that it's their turn to say something about it.
That's
it's your
so
turn to be mad at me. It's your turn to say, okay, what else could I have? It's your turn in this transaction of a conversation to participate. And you doing does not help a solution come.
Yeah.
So
do you, have you noticed, and again, maybe this is just bias or whatever, but like, have you noticed that like the younger, and again, I sound like so fucking old now. You're around my age, right? 29? How old are you? Okay. So like, people, when I talk to like younger people, like especially like staff at restaurant or stuff like that, and again, maybe I'm biased, I don't know, and I'm like making fun of younger people on the spot, like, are they just like all awkward and like don't know how to like socially interact? Like, is that a COVID thing? Again, I like, have you noticed any of that at all?
I think it's a COVID thing.
Yeah,
I've noticed my social skills have unfortunately become a fraction of what they were pre-COVID.
I feel that too.
Even as someone that, you know, will make an effort to make eye contact with somebody.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, those people that are going through the more impressionable years of their lives during that 4-year span, or what, the two and a half year span where COVID was really, really spiking up. Like, that had to have been tough. That had to have been at like a turning point where people are deciding, am I going to be an indoor person or an outdoor person? And then it happens. And then a lot of people became indoor people because they had no other choice. And so then those sort of qualities, I think, just inherently were activated because of where they were and what was going on. So less eye contact, more awkwardness, less confrontation.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know what like our future kids are going to be like.
I don't know, man. Do you want kids?
Yeah.
You do? Nice.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't know. We talked about it with my fiance. I don't think we do.
I'm sorry for assuming that.
Wait.
When I said when we have kids, that's great.
No, it's not.
That's great. It is.
I'm like deeply insulted.
No, I mean, or yeah.
No.
For the next 30 minutes. No, I'm sorry.
Talk about social cues and interactions. No, we talked about it, dude. You know, and again, like every generation has had this problem, right? You don't know if you want to bring up a kid in this world and that kind of thing. I think what I really feel empathy for future parents is like, there are going to be so many challenges with bringing up kids with technology, like incoming, like AI and all these different things. Like, I fear as a parent, I wouldn't know how to navigate it. Though I think that's probably like every parent has had that fear throughout history. You know what I mean? Like technology incoming. And you ever think about anything like that? Or
Yeah. I think about that stuff a little bit.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
it's always going to be there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? So it's like, you know, but I mean, we probably won't have kids for like other reasons or something like that, but
I don't know,
we're leaving the door open on it for now, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have a question for you.
Yeah,
what's a little thing lately that just gets you going?
Oh, great.
What's
question,
a little thing,
a little tiny thing that gets me going? That's a good question, and I wish I came prepared, because I would love to discuss this with you, because I feel like you're right, and I've said this to you before, but like, you remind me very much of like Larry David style comedy. I mean that as like the highest compliment, where it's like,
you can take
literally
that's
the excitement. You're like,
big compliment.
What's something small that gets me going? I mean, literally, like, my fiance's in the next room, like anything. Like, big thing in driving in Jersey, like, really just fucking gets me going, and it's just because.
Get you angry?
Just driving in Jersey, because everyone here like drives like a fucking asshole, and it's insane. And it's just like, there's no lack, you know, no one is courteous to each other. It's like every man for themselves out here. But I don't know, is that, you want smaller, I can tell, right? Like,
anything. That's anything. Great.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
We can talk about that.
Now, I'm trying to think. While I think on a better answer, do you have like one that's like really getting at you lately? I know you post about them all the time, so I'm like excited to see whatever video you have.
I love how you, the same way that you went out against the nice girls in the subway, you decided to go negative about it. what gets you going? I meant like going up.
Oh, you
what
meant,
got you going?
You
what gets you going? But that's fine. That's what we can say in a negative light. I was going to talk about how I get excited when a singer does a cover of another song that's not theirs. And I just love seeing a TikTok of those. Like if just someone, like if Miley Cyrus is singing someone else's song and I see like that gives me goosebumps, that gives me pleasure. And that gives me excitement. So, but you went angry, which is great.
Which very telling about me. Do you like live cover bands? Are you a big cover band guy? Like,
not. I don't know. I don't know. All like, I know is I see someone that is singing a song that's not theirs.
Yeah.
And it makes my brain go, huh, that's different. And it's good. And that dopamine point.
That reminds me. I went to, if you can believe it, I went to a Train concert in my youth, and they sang a Beatles song, and I remember, and if you famously, Train is not the Beatles. And
as
they,
you're telling us, I'm just looking up their top five songs. I know one of them, but I don't know the name.
Hey Soul Sister.
Okay.
That's like that was an anthem back in my youth, but I remember. Oh God, you're gonna like this too. So I remember hearing that. I think they played, they did Eleanor Rigby or something like that. It was a big Beatles song. And I remember being in the stands like, that's not their song. Yeah, these bastards.
You didn't like it?
I didn't.
Do you don't like cover songs? You don't like cover songs.
Wait, and you did this video. Literally, this
don't like cover songs.
This episode is just turning into me gushing about your Instagram and TikTok, but you did a video about how you go to a concert and you don't pay all that money to hear the crowd sing the songs, right?
Yeah.
That I just saw a video of like Billy Joel, like one of his last concerts at an MSG, and it's like the crowd singing Piano Man, and it infuriated me because you're 100% right. I don't want to hear all these people singing. That's not why I paid the ticket for.
Yeah.
I want to hear Billy.
Yeah, dude. I just got to point out,
I
don't know how to react to your compliments. I love them, but just like any of my other friends, I don't know how to react. Thank
I can
you.
Tell because like you like physically,
I'm
you like moved.
Like, oh, yeah. No, it's totally. But deep down, I'm like, oh, my God. Thank you. I don't know what to say. And that's when I start losing my eye contact abilities when you give a compliment. So thank you. Thank you. But let's talk about it. I saw Drake 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he just did this. He did
awful.
This. And it just made me so upset because he was going through, you know, a fast library of abridged versions of his music. And he just swam past three songs that I love so fast. He sang like 15 seconds of them, whereas I was hoping to get 9 minutes of sing my heart out.
Yeah, that's
sing
tough
my
minute.
Heart out. And he just, in Feel No Ways,
that's
New
tough.
York, I can't hear you. Where's the energy? There was no energy. Talking about Montalkified, Drake's been Montalkified. Everybody's there just recording him to say that they saw him. There was a group of girls, and I'm not targeting girls. They just were girls, that were standing in the row below us. They were recording on Snapchat the entire concert. But Matt, that's not what was annoying about it. They were recording themselves the whole time. The whole time. That red dot was circling. Keeps going. Keeps going. I think it goes like 10 times if you want to. If you're that conceited, you could record 10 times on Snapchat before it's like, wait a minute. You need to process this data or else it's going to crash. And the whole time, they just kept, oh my God, we're here. And I was like, I just wish you guys weren't alive. I wish you weren't alive because then you wouldn't be here.
That's so funny. you like pans to me. I'm like next to them doing the same thing. Like, yeah, let's do it, Drake. It's like, it's sad because like I totally, like I'm in the same boat as you, right? Where it's like, go for the experience and stuff like that. But it's like, unfortunately, it feels like a social requirement now that you have to just like put yourself out there in that way, or maybe not a requirement, right? Maybe that's like maybe, you know, it's a very surface level like assessment of like that, but like if you're young, I'm sure it must feel like you have to do that, otherwise it's like I don't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, hence seeing everybody.
And you don't.
Yeah, you don't. that speaks to this new seasonal installment of that, which is everyone wearing their U.S. Open hats. I gotta go to the U.S. Open.
When did that become so popular? I have never... I don't know, man.
Like, I didn't notice it till I moved here, so...
Oh, really? Okay.
But I did see a TikTok about a tennis player that was like... It used to not be like this, just like Montauk. And so she was she was going off about it, and it's just become, you know, like a brand activation spot for influencers where they go to launch whatever campaigns they're doing, and they just, like, we're here. And there were people recording themselves doing some promotion during a set. And so that's where she was like, I understand business. I understand, like, the world that we're in today, but, like, there's got to be some respect for tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis is a sport where you watch it.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, because my parents used to have tickets to the U.S. Open, and they would go, like, every year, but they just got, like, way too expensive to make it worth it. But, like, you would go, and, like, they would have, not bouncers, but, like, they would have staff, like, on the aisles, and, like, they would tell you to shut the fuck up. You weren't allowed to get up in the middle of a set.
Yeah.
Like, it was, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy someone would, like, talk to it, because you could hear them, like, in the stadium while they're playing.
Yeah. Dude, now that you bring this up, we're both Yankees guys. What really pisses me off are people that go to the stadium that don't know where their fucking seats are. They don't know where their seats are. Like, seven visits to their seats later, they still don't know where their seats are. I was at the game, and they do a really piss poor job of, like, letting people down during the middle of an at bat.
Yeah.
It used to be wait until the at bat's over.
Right.
You wait till the at bat's over so that people that are sitting in their seats that want to watch the game can watch the game. But then there was someone sitting in front of me, and they're just walking through the aisle, taking their jacket off, taking their time with that. And again, I wish that they weren't alive so that I would be able to watch the pitch.
Yeah.
And they don't care. There's no awareness. And that's another thing that goes on with going to these events. People need to be held accountable. There needs to be some sort of social etiquette.
Yeah.
And I think that MLB should put into play a ticket policy for diehard fans. So Yankees, for example, there should be an exam that everyone's able to take where you're asked basic Yankees questions. Basic Yankees questions. Who's the first baseman this year? Who was the third baseman when we won the World Series? How many outfielders play the three positions in the outfield? Like, basic questions.
I love this idea. As a fan, I love this so much.
And it'll reward us, too. It'll reward us. The reason why we have them take this exam is so that we can have the better baseball fans get rewarded for actually knowing what's going on. If you go to the game because you want to take pictures, that's part of it. I get it. But there should be some sort of class or entry point for people that actually know ball, where you pass that exam, and then you get to join a lottery where, when nobody can come to their Legend Seats games, your name gets pulled, you get a phone call, and you say, hey, better baseball fan person,
yeah,
you can sit in the Legend Seats today because you know ball.
Can I tell you, I think this would do amazing with the Knicks, because what's happening to the Knicks is that Knicks fans are being, like, priced out. And, like, all these corporate groups and, like, sponsorships are just buying up the tickets. And now, like, it's not a great atmosphere to play. Like, it used to be this dominant, like, people would be scared to play in MSG. And, like, in the playoff run last year for the Knicks, they went, like, 500 or, like, less than 500 at home. And it's, dude, I'm such a fan of this. This is gold stuff. Especially with the Legend Seats at Yankee Stadium. Because, like, Michael Kay says this, and I agree with him. Like, every fan should get to sit there at least once. It's, like, an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Have you ever sat there?
I've gotten to sit there a couple times.
I'm the biggest Yankee fan in my family, and my family went without me.
What?
Yeah, dude. I fucking know.
Were you unavailable? Or was it a secret?
I think.
Or they hate you, and they just did it. And they were like, yeah, we're going. Fuck you, Matt.
Happy birthday, bitch.
What happened?
So I think I must have been unavailable, I think, or I wasn't home or something. They went, and this is, like, kind of sweet revenge, and they're, like, sending me all these pictures. They're having lobster. If you don't know Legend Seats at Yankee Stadium, they, like, it's, like, a carving. It's a buffet style, all this, like, steakhouse food, like, five-star chefs, whatever. They have a candy wall, front row seats to the game and everything. They went. It was the shortest game of the year.
Really?
And that made me so happy.
Was it, like, maybe, was it under 2 hours?
It was under 2 hours.
Nice.
And this was, I think, before the pitch clock. I can't remember.
Oh, so just a really good, so it was pitched, like, bad, boring baseball game.
So they were pissed, and I was like, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get you out there.
Dude, I got to...
We're entering Make-A-Wish territory soon. You haven't been out there yet? The way your family treated you like that? You should get Make-A-Wish legend seats. I'm telling you, dude. That's Make-A-Wish worthy. It's so fucked up.
They, like, put me in front of the kid with cancer. Like,
you should sit next to
this
the
guy.
Kid. Yeah. Or, no, you should have his seat. They should give you his seat.
He's in the bleachers. I'm like, they're like, and what do you have, Matt? As a 30-year-old man, I'm like, eczema.
Dude, there's this, my friend Chris and I, there's Yankees people that walk around. They have a TikTok account, or it's on the Yankees TikTok, where they'll give away really good seats to, like, random lucky fans. They usually give it to people that are sick. And that's fine. That's the right thing. That's how it's supposed to be. But if I get to the stadium a little early, yeah, my friend Chris and I are hunting those guys down. And what we'll do is, the same way that you would, you know, walk by, like, someone that you think is a celebrity that's, like, stagnant, and you just want to confirm that it's them, or you just want to get a good look at them, we'll find them, and we'll just walk by them and be like, I'm sick. Or just like, I'm not feeling good. Not, like, in a contagious way, in, like, a I'm going to die tomorrow kind of way. If only someone can make my day better. If anyone can make my day better, like I'm sitting only in the 400s. Just trying to make eye contact. And then my one friend, like, blows the load too early. He's like, hi, I love your videos. I'm like, fuck, damn it, Chris. Then we go get our garlic fries and sit in the bleachers. And then some douchebag doesn't know where his seat is and blocks our view the whole game. And then see people take selfies. I'm like, sit down. You shouldn't be here. And then you're sitting in the seat in Legends, and I'm sitting next to the sick kid.
Can I ask, what's your take on catching a foul ball and giving it to a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know? Oh, you're big guy.
Matthew!
I thought you were going to say no. No, I'm all for it, too. No, I'm
well, now we don't know.
Too.
Now we don't know. Everyone, check the cam and see what is, like, we need a psychologist to scan his face for whatever the anticipated reaction was. Should I have said something different? Because it looked like he might have been perked up to be like, yes, I would catch it and fuck those kids. Well, you're going to be on TV. You hand the ball to the kid, and then you get to meet Aaron Judge and sit on his lap. That's all I want, is sit on Aaron Judge's lap. I love him.
Dude, I remember the last time you did the bookstore show, you were like, you had a hat or something, and you go, I go, oh, that's a nice hat. And you leaned in close, you go, I got it because Aaron Judge wears it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just want to sit on his lap.
I want to sit on Aaron Judge's lap. I want him to look at me the same way he looks at somebody that hit a home run while he was on base, where he's just waiting for me at home plate.
Do you want to do the elbow thing?
I want to do the elbow thing. I want him to mess with my hair. I want to how far? It's 90 feet between the bases, right?
Yeah.
I want to be 90 feet away from Aaron Judge. And I want to run into his arms like a baby with their uncle. And I want him to just embrace me and smile and be so proud of me. I just want Aaron Judge to be proud of me, and I want to sit on his lap.
I'm like...
And I want my I want my wife to be there. And I want to sit... I don't know.
I don't know if I want her there.
I don't know if I want her there.
That's our moment.
You know what I want? I want Stranger Things when 11. Is their name 11 or 7?
It's 11.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
I watched the first season.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
When the parts in Stranger Things when she's like doing like all of her no senses and she's in the pool and everything's black. I just want Aaron Judge to be 90 feet away and he's like, come on. Let's go, baby. Let's go. And he's wearing his horse hat. And he's like, let's go, babe. Let's go, Ryan Lynch. I love you, man. And he just embraces me. And his chains like get on my neck. And his belt buckle crosses against my nose. I don't care. I'm excited. I'm a judge. So I would give the ball to a little kid because the likelihood of me meeting Aaron Judge would increase significantly. Should I be the asshole like Zach Hample, where I just steal the ball away?
Wait, who's Zach Hample?
He's the guy that catches every home run.
Oh,
the ball
okay.
Guy.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I like him. I don't mind him. I think he's cool and interesting. I think he's cool and interesting.
Can I?
But he's not. Aaron Judge is not going to be wanting to give him a hug ever. Ever.
I'm just imagining you like, because you know, like if you catch like a 500th home run ball or something like that, the staff is going to be like, do you want some memorabilia or season tickets? You're going to be like, no. Where's Aaron?
I'm gonna go to where's the dugout. AJ? I want to go to the dugout right now.
Can I run the bases with him?
I want to play catch with him.
Do you? Okay. So the reason I ask is because.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that was amazing. So like the thing with the foul ball thing is now is Bill Burr has this great bit about how it's like, no, you shouldn't give it out. Like, it's your fucking ball. I've been waiting 30 years to catch a ball. So funny. But also it's like you should, whatever your stance is, I feel like you need to give that ball like to a kid because like every camera is on you now. And if you are seen on television not giving a ball to a kid or saying no, I feel like your life's over.
Yeah, you know? You definitely are going to be seen in a bad light. Not as bad as like the Coldplay scenario, that, but like yeah. Those videos have compilations and those compilations make money and people will post compilations like that on TikTok all the time every year for the rest of forever. And they'll always make new additions to it. So if you're the person in 2025 that doesn't give the ball to a kid, you'll be part of a compilation every year for the rest of your life. So you'll always get that constant, did I see you do that? And so, yeah, that's not worth it.
You brought up Stranger Things. Are you like caught up with Stranger Things or no?
I'm like, caught up, but just like everyone else, I forget everything that happened because okay. It takes a decade for them to make a fucking season. Well, sorry.
No,
I
that's
swearing.
You're fine. We swear on this podcast, but we, I said that. We
I didn't
would,
need,
like,
to, I'm sorry because I didn't need to say fuck.
That's okay.
I think I got my point across without saying fuck. And so I'm sorry about that. Continue.
Okay, so I haven't watched Stranger Things, but like what's weird and what pops up on like my algorithm sometimes is like I'll get clips from Stranger Things. And like I thought, like I watched the first season. I thought it was like a kid. Where it takes place in the '70s, or what is it? Yeah. So I thought it was like
80s.
A kid '70s, like 80s horror movie. First season was great. I loved the first season. I think it's fantastic on its own. Now I get clips from like Stranger Things, and it's like this like lifeguard who's like flirting and like having like intense sexual chemistry with like this like mom in the neighborhood, and I'm like, what did this show turn into? Mm-hmm. And I'm strictly bringing this up because I'm seeking answers. I don't know if you have any. Or...
Fair question. So I don't... That's a fair question because you gave enough context behind it. I think that Stranger Things, when completely incubated into like no social media influence, no tabloids of, oh, they're still working on the script. Like all that stuff kind of goes into your head and then it makes you question things. And then when you see a clip out of context, you might say that. If you were to just be... like in a movie theater and you knew nothing about the show and they press play, I think you would love it. I think it's a great
show. Yeah, you think it's like
show.
A good... Okay.
I think it's a fantastic show and just like I did, but there's four seasons out. The fifth one's this year. It's the fifth and final. Between seasons 3 and 4, I remember so much time passed where I was like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and then you're back where you were 3 years ago and it's a very gripping show. And I'm glad this is it because I do think that it will get a little tired if they go any longer.
Yeah.
But I remember watching season 4 and I was just like, you know, after all the hoopla and me being like, ugh, well, I got to watch it, see it through. Like, each episode of Goosebumps.
Can I tell you the same, because I know exactly the feeling you're talking about. I got that with Severance. Have you watched Severance?
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the original camp where I watched season 1. Did it come out before the pandemic season 1?
No, it came out February 2022.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So we were still like just coming out of it, I guess, or wherever we were. I remember watching it, and I was like, this show is amazing, and I loved it. And I remember I fell off, right, because it was like 3 years or something, whatever the production delays were.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Writer's strike fucked it up.
Right, writer's strike, and then the end of season 1, without giving anything away, is one of the best endings to a television show I have ever seen. And I was like, there's no way they're going to top it. And then I felt, yeah, goosebumps, literally. And then... I watched season 2, and then I hear these people are like, yeah, we just started season 1, and now we're watching season 2. I was like, you fuckers. You know how long I waited for the end of season? Are you,
Matt,
were you someone?
Endorsement, 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 and good on us, bro. February 22, where were you?
We were
watching Severance.
We were.
Dude.
That show.
Yes. 110%.
I was just like, I watched the season 2 finale, and I was like, I can't believe they topped it. And it's the best... That was the best season of television I've watched maybe since Breaking Bad. Like, literally, like, that level of just... And what's really funny, and again, this isn't giving anything away, but in season 2, there's an episode where it just starts on a mountain. That's all I'll say. And then, like, I remember I was high when I was watching that episode, and I was like, did I miss an episode? It's like so out of left field. I was like, where are they? Like,
hey, everybody backs out after 2 minutes and contemplates, did I accidentally skip an episode?
Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah. It happens. Like, it happens. So, yeah, it just happens. So, Ryan, I know we're on time, so I want to get to your low point that we're going to talk about today, which is you said you are in a transitional phase right now, right? So you had previously, why are you smiling?
I was just so excited. Yeah. Let's get. Can we come back? We'll come back to Severance maybe later.
Yeah. No, I know. I didn't mean to like interrupt.
No. I love that.
It happens because here's the thing: is like I think if you're giving me a platform to talk about this, what I love is like I love starting the episode. Like we'll do like usually I try and do 30 minutes where we just like you know shooting the shit so people get to know the guests and stuff like that. And then I like getting into it.
Yeah.
But I know we're on a bit of a time crunch today, so I want to like I'm sorry for the hard pivot.
No, that's on. We're chilling.
But let's see if we can bring Severance back into it. Maybe it's relatable, people. Maybe Aaron Judge can give us find a way for him to give us a hug. Ryan, that's our new that's on our YouTube series. We're gonna make a series where we try to get Aaron Judge to give us a hug.
Oh,
just 2 30-year-old.
I don't want to hug. I want to sit on his lap. You hug him, and then you move out of the way, and then I'm standing by a chair. And it's a judge's chamber chair, and I have a nice like sanitized pant. Anyway.
Oh my god. It's so funny because like I try to because sometimes I hate and this is you look great but I like there's something about me I don't like wearing shorts on this camera and you are fine I don't want you to feel self-conscious about
thank
it.
You
good I don't want you to feel that so I tried to put on a casual pant and these are very hot
yeah
and I am sweating and also crying from laughter so my
those
face
are
is
Lululemon.
Very moist no dude Old Navy
will you oh believe hell
it?
Yeah
will you believe it dude the
hell
Old
yeah,
Navy
man.
We went dude I did not know how expensive Old Navy was we went to the cashier I was like oh fuck you guys are like a real store I was like not to like go at Old Navy
I thought I could pay you in buttons
yeah I thought it was like I thought it was you know like I thought it was like a Marshall's situation but no Marshall's is amazing
where you could haggle them
yeah where I was like oh you guys actually sell clothes at full
you're
price
scanning this
yeah
that's so I didn't know that they were real
dude I literally yeah and like they rang us up and it was like wait it was like double what I thought it was gonna be and my fiance and I just looked at each other and we're like oh fuck
it's a store
but it was I was just like Old Navy where do you get off man
ugh
I thought it was like a low tier you know
you look chill despite not feeling that
dude that means the world because I'm sweating so much and I'm like so unchill I'm like unchill and I try to be chill that's my whole vibe you know what I mean and it just doesn't work out all the time but Ryan your low point. We're going to talk about it. I like how I'm just like bringing the low point. We talked a little bit about it before and it's very interesting. So you're going through a transitional period right now where you was working on the podcast, your full-time gig?
Yes.
Were you doing, okay, gotcha.
I was doing other freelance work. So I worked
so you were working for yourself pretty much, yeah.
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 So that was, but that was like my primary work. So back in 2022, I left my corporate sales job to work as a intern on a podcast that I was a fan of, Oops the Podcast, hosted by Giulio Gallerati and Francis Ellis. I was a fan of both their comedy. Their producer, Chris Casso, put out an ad looking for an intern, and I was 25, 24 at the time, okay. Intern, whatever, I want to work with them.
Yeah.
I applied. I know I made some video sketches. It was something I always wanted to do, and this was a great opportunity to be surrounded by people that, you know, can show me the way and, you know, help maybe inject a little more creativity and confidence in myself. So I left my job, saved up, left my job, worked on the podcast with them full time, and lots of highs and lows, lots of changes, and then we were doing the podcast 2 episodes a week, every single week, never missed a week. Up until about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And we were just like it was time to wrap things up. So
and were you like loving your time working on the pod? Like was it like yeah.
It was a very important experience and a pivotal moment in my life because it unlocked so many doors. It gave me the confidence to finally do stand up, something that I always wanted to do. It gave me the confidence to get back and committing into making sketches and posting videos and being more confident in myself online. There was a time in middle school where I had a Sony CyberShot camera. It was like 14 megapixels, and I would film little sketches by myself, And I invited friends to do it with me, and you know, they were goofing around, and I got a little dictatory about like how I wanted things to be done. I was very strict about it, and so then I was like, never mind, I'm gonna do this by myself. I did everything by myself, set up tripod shoot, edit everything on my sister's shitty Dell Esperon notebook, shitty computer, edited on there. Posted them, made a YouTube channel, 100 views, meant the world to me at the time.
Yeah, that's, we haven't even gotten 100 views. That's great.
And one of my friends, I was a little too loose-lipped with my passwords at the time. He thought it would be a funny prank to go onto my YouTube and delete my account.
Get the fuck out of here.
And that happened, I made them like in late middle school, early freshman year, when it basically was like an archived vault. It was public and everything, but like was like, I just did it. Then I got busy, but I was like, I love this. I'm going to look back on this. Even if I don't do sketches stuff, I cannot wait to watch this with my kids. And my friend thought it was funny to delete it. And he was like, oh, they're stupid anyway. And doubled down on it. And he's like, get over it. And it was on my sister's shitty Dell computer. So those files were unsalvageable because I had to delete them to make up enough storage to edit the next one. And so that was when I was like, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't be creative. I shouldn't make videos. Aww. It is stupid. And I did theater in middle school a lot. And again, with comp and stuff, a lot of people said I was very good at it. I enjoyed it, but I was always just filled with so much shame and embarrassment because of the stigma that went behind doing theater and not committing to LAX or baseball full time. And so I did Aladdin, and I did.
Oh my God!
Jafar.
Were you like, you played Jafar?
No, like I was like a tenor voice, and I did Jafar. And I played the Big Bad Wolf and Goldilocks on Trial, and I was in Annie, and I did all these plays, and they were fun. But I just always was one foot out the door because I was so embarrassed and ashamed of what my friends were going to think. So then when I went to high school, the director who was doing the middle school and the high school was like, hey, are you auditioning for the musicals? And I said, no, I'm playing baseball. And I loved baseball. I wish I could have done both. I'm glad I played baseball, but, you know, 14 years later, I definitely think that I'd be in a different place if I decided to do theater and get over my fear of ridicule from my friends. But this podcast and being part of it and around all these creative people helped bring the spark back and the confidence back to be that person that I was when I was on stage back then.
That is, number one, so beautiful. So that's an incredible journey. I can't believe... Did you keep that friend in your life for a while, or was it like just like a childhood friend thing? You're like, he's my best friend. He was my best man.
Yeah, that's a complicated one.
We don't have to talk about it.
No, it's fine. Because I don't know where I am with it. I'm still that person's in my life, and
have you ever talked about it with that person?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and I forgave. And then
did they apologize?
I think I acted some type of way over the years because you know, someone that I grew up with, always kind of seeing every year, and so I think I was always acting a little like to myself. I didn't think anything of it, and then went on a double date with my now wife, and then he said something like, "Oh, he's making little videos," and like, you know, I'm not trying to be the next Charlie D'Amelio over here, but like my wife took that as a like, "Oh, that's a point down," like you're pointing down
great,
on him.
Great partner.
And so when we got in the Uber on the way back, she was like. She's like, and we had a great night.
Yeah.
And the first thing she said was like, by the way, like, did you notice the point down? And then that's when I realized like, you know what? Forgive, but maybe forget and like move on. And like, cause like that was toxic and it was subconscious. It was a subconscious gaslighting. I wouldn't even call it. It's a form of gaslighting. I don't know. It was a subconscious thing that I just was like, I believe this to be true.
Yeah.
Because I accept it, and I have a lot more creative and fun and supportive friends. And I still have some very supportive friends from the past and from the present. And I don't need that in my life. And so I think I'm just gonna, you know, leave things amicable, but not expect or push or initiate.
And that makes
going
sense.
Forward.
Yeah, it's just something where it's not, you know,
it's not
like,
worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth your energy or your time. And
yeah,
because that's, I think, unfortunately, like, because I've been in situations like that before with like friendships and stuff where it's like, you know, it didn't necessarily. Do I want to talk about this? I'll talk about it. I had a close friend of mine who didn't text me when I got engaged. and like didn't like a picture on Instagram, like just kind of, and like this was someone I would meet for coffee, you know, every few months. Like, you know, we were very close friends from college and things like that. And, you know, they eventually reached out and they called me, you know, just to like, and I think he knew he like fucked up and something like that. And, you know, it's like every time I think about reigniting that conversation, I just come back to like, why am I going to put the time in and energy when you couldn't even like text me, you know? And it's nothing like, he's not a bad guy. Like, and you know, if I saw him today, like I would say hello, you know, like that kind of thing. I have no ill will. It's just like, why am I going to do that? Why am I going to put that energy in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Someone can be not a bad person and you can also not want to invest energy.
Yeah.
Both can be true.
Yeah.
That's a thing I'm like trying to work on right now, is acknowledging that two things can be true. There doesn't need to be a right and a wrong.
Yeah.
You can have your side and they can have their side, and both can be true.
Yeah.
And like that kind of lets you feel confident in making a decision about how you want to go about something. And so in this instance, yeah, like that's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but I had a friend like similarly in the same way, use that word like little with like with the stuff I'm doing, stuff like that. And it's like, I'm sure he was just like fucking with me, but like I told my fiance because it really bothered me. And I was like, what, you know? And here's the thing, right? It's like, it's very hard to, as you know, it is very hard to put yourself out there like online and do whatever. What I come back to, and what I keep telling myself, because I started making like TikToks and stuff, and it's not this great thing. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm an artist because I put out every day and stuff like that. It's not how I view it, right? It's just like I'm putting my voice out there and trying to work out material, you know, like that kind of thing. And what I come back to all the time is the people who I really admire and who I want to be like creatively would look at what I'm doing and be like, good, keep doing this. And, you know, they would like it. People that don't like it in my life, I don't like... oftentimes, like, I don't even care how they view what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel like, have you grown to, like, get to that point where it, like, doesn't even bother you anymore? Or is it still, like, are there people that you still worry? It's like, oh, like, I care so much about their opinion or something like that when you put stuff out.
No, that's a good question. Very timely question. I've had an epiphanic realization recently where I've really cemented in, like, this is my life. I got one. This is who I am. Yep. I'm happy when I'm being me. And, you know, there's going to be moments where you get insecure, despite how bad you try to fight off how you think someone perceives you. That's always going to be a thing. But, like, no, like, I'm going to, you know, not be an ass or an annoying person, but I've been unapologetically myself lately.
Yeah, which I, and, like, to hear a world where, like, and again, I'm not just trying to, I'm like prepping for the avoiding eye contact because compliment incoming. But like for you to not be yourself online, I think would be a sin, Ryan.
Thank you.
Because you're, oh my God, your videos make me cackle and crack up. Like I watch them with my fiance. They're so funny. Seriously, check them out if you haven't. But so it sounds like that job like really kind of opened you up creatively. And this kind of gets to my next point, which is that like, you know, you're like, and here's the thing, like specifically with show business that I don't think people like talk about enough is like you're gonna, you know, if you're fortunate to have these like incredible experiences where you get to work with all these creative people, it's like that stuff ends and you like, you know, I think there's this perception and maybe it's just in my mind, right? Like I'm projecting, like I used to think like, oh, I want to make it. And there's this, so I set this boundary between like making it and not making it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that at all. It's just about doing it, doing the thing. So it's like where I was going with it is like, did you feel when it ended where you like, did you have, or it sounds like you've had a very mature outlook on it, but like, did you have a moment where you were like, oh my God, it's over. Like it's, what am I going to do now? Or like maybe any panic or.
That's a good question. No, I wouldn't have felt any panic. I think everything ran its course properly.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm upset that I don't get to work with my guy that I've been seeing every week and talking for hours with every week for the last, you know, 3 years, exclusively just us. I'm going to miss that, and that sucks, and that makes me sad. But in terms of, like, how I feel about, like progress in like the creative space, it's kind of just like what you said. I just keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to make stuff.
Yeah.
And that is that is succeeding, is just making stuff.
And that's like what it took me so long to learn. And it's kind of like timely because like this episode, even like for me, from my perspective, because like I recently, I mean, as soon as earlier, like in this year in the podcast, you know, you can hear episodes where I'm like, where I kind of talk about it with that distinction. Like I was so concerned with like this idea of quote unquote making it. Gabe Malika, who I love, and he's been like a mentor to me, like said something on stage, and I don't even know if he'll remember, but it stuck with me. He's like, making it is not interesting. It's what you're making that's interesting, mm-hmm. right? And that has always stuck with me. And when I, so what I've done is in these past few months, even like I've shifted my mentality to, this isn't about quote unquote making it. It's about personal growth. Because that's the coolest thing, I think, when you're in the creative space is seeing, is doing like you in middle school, right? Where you're looking back at all these old videos and stuff you used to make. You know, I love the reminders I get on TikTok where it's like 2 years ago when I was just trying to figure it out. I, you know, would look at like little characters and sketches I did and I'm like, oh, like, and they still make me laugh. You know what I mean? So like, that's the cool. And seeing like where you are now, I think yeah. is really cool. I'm really glad to hear that like you have that perspective.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It took me a second to get my words in order there, but I haven't heard that making it, you're making stuff.
Yeah.
Quote. Oh, yeah. That advice before.
That's all Gabe Malika, and that is like.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
I've come to the realization like, I've had the chance to sit like in a green room with like the a couple people, and I've just seen them, and like I'm like, okay, well we're all just people. Everyone's making their own thing.
Yeah.
Sitting in this room isn't like a reward or yeah. like an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, do your thing and not, no one knows that you're doing so-and-so. No one knows that you met so-and-so when
yeah.
you die.
Yeah.
Like make stuff, create stuff, put stuff out. If it resonates with anybody, that's awesome.
Yes.
And I'm realizing yeah. now, like if I obviously am always going to be checking views and stuff like that.
Oh, it's a
that
different.
Is inherent.
Yeah.
That's never going to stop. How you work with that internal battle of like your self-value and worth.
Yeah.
That's something I'm working on, and I'm coming to the realization that the dopamine hit or the satisfaction or the serotonin or just the happiness molecules going off in my brain, it means a lot more and it has a lot more value, holds a lot more water when a friend of mine or one person says, oh my God, this was so funny.
Yeah.
Versus something that go and that's a video that gets like 1,000 views versus a video that gets like a ton more views.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's maybe not you. It's not yourself. And so like I'm trying to find the value in like finding positives from making anything.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that because like in a similar way, I've had videos where it's just like, and this goes for jokes too, like not just like, you know, whatever it is you're working on. Like I put out videos before and I was like, you know, a few hundred views. So I was like, all right, like not my best, whatever. And like, you know, it like sucked because I thought it was really funny. And then I would talk to like 4 people in person. And they'd be like, oh my God, I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and Jamel Sirleaf, who did this podcast and who I love, he's a fantastic comedian. Go follow him. He said something which I love because I think he works in social media. He said like, because I told him, like, honestly, I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes I get like, you can hear it on the episode. I'm like, yeah, sometimes it bothers me when it's like, you know, a video doesn't do well, like I take it personally. And he was like, why? Like he was genuinely confused, and his perspective was, you're feeding something into a machine, and that machine is making it its own independent decision about what it's going to spit out to like other people, and it has no inherent value about who you are as, not to sound corny, as an artist or like a creative or anything. So it's like, don't take it personally. It's just like, it's an algorithm. Literally, like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, yeah, it's just another opportunity to like put yourself out there. Like it doesn't reflect like your value or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to say like, you know, it's not to say that like you shouldn't be proud of like stuff that you're putting yourself out there. You should, but like, you know, there's you know, value beyond that, if that makes sense.
There's more data and value in the camp of this didn't do well that help you get through that.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for
and help you kind of like internalize it yeah. and then realize how much of a not big deal situation it is versus what back when everything was swing for the fences.
Yeah,
bust my nut on this video that bombs and then be sad about it for a while.
Exactly.
It's just so I've come to terms with that too. And I need to get the cadence up, not because I need views and I need to go viral and everything like that,
yeah.
but like I need to create more because it makes me so happy yeah. when just one person's happy with it. And like
yeah,
that makes me feel good. And so yeah. that's been the internal drive lately. Endorsements. That's what it's about. Personal endorsements. Just like someone like a.
Oh, I thought you meant like
money.
Yeah.
No, I just meant
get your brand out there.
Brands, money. I have been lying the whole time. No, just like. So just like you said, someone coming up to you and you're doing something wonky, silly, maybe it's a half-baked bit, or you're just being 100% yourself, and it doesn't hit with 99 people in the room of 100. When one person goes up to you and it's like, I see you, I heard you, and I get it, and I liked it, that is value.
Yes.
And that is that is making something.
Dude, that
you're making someone feel something.
100%. And especially like, it's a thing. I bring up Gary Goldman on like every episode, but he has so much wisdom, which is I think in his 365 tweets that he did for about like stand-ups and creatives, it's like, you know, when you were that one person, like you said, who really, really connects, like that is how you're going to find your audience. Because when you're being authentically yourself like that, and it's like, you don't, you know, there's value in not being for everybody. You know what I mean? There's like, there's value to really, really connecting with like a niche group, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you don't realize that.
Yes.
Until, you know, after a couple of fall on your face moments.
Right.
Which isn't, it's just you're falling on your face in front of not the right people.
Right.
Your people are out there. That one in 100's there.
Yes.
There's 100 of those ones somewhere else, dude, just not here now yet.
Exactly. The hard thing, the hard thing with social media specifically is that like you think in your head or you create these narratives with like, oh my God, I'm going to bomb in front of everybody I know. They're going to be like, what the hell is he doing? Whatever. It took me a while to get over that. But again, I come back to like the people who I really cared about in my life and who, you know, like that were real people that I had genuine relationships with and that I want to keep in my life. They don't care. They like, you know, they just want, well, they want you to be doing your thing. That is one thing we were talking about Gen Z before. They don't make fun of each other for that, for like putting yourself out there. I've heard that. They're like, no, that's like, what did it like do you? Which is like, I think that's the coolest thing.
That is really cool.
Like to come out like that.
Yeah, that's great. Another thing too, that before I had like the self like confidence of just like, no, just be you. If a video does poorly, no one's gonna see it.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
And so like I think that's helpful too.
Yes.
Unless you say horrible shit like a video compilation where I take your computer and I splice up edits of you talking about how you don't like women on the subway and how you don't like people that drive in New Jersey and you don't like kids with cancer at the Yankees game.
We are going to title this episode Aaron Judge, Can I Sit on Your Lap? but so Ryan, cause like, well, what's so interesting to me about this conversation is like, I asked you, you know, what your low point is. Right. And it's, you know, you told me you're kind of not, you're trying not to make this your low point, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, but it doesn't really seem like it is one to you. Right. Like I totally hear you where you're like, it's sad that you won't get to like work on these things, but like, you seem to be in a really good headspace where like you're working through this, like, period of change and saying goodbye to something that was so important to you for all these years. But like, I think what you're doing an amazing job about is articulating, I had this experience, I got so much out of it that I'm going to take with me to whatever projects or creative things I'm going to do next, which I think like I think is like exactly what you should be doing with it, even though it sucks that you won't be working on the podcast anymore.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's okay. And like I was most worried about, you know, I'm back in corporate again during the day. And so I was most worried about, you know, again, perception. I was most worried about the perception of people being like, oh, he didn't make it. Or like, oh, he gave up.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, the people, because like, yeah, like I don't get into the meat and the potatoes behind like why the pod ended. It just, you know, we couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
And only the best of terms. We just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that just, it made sense to stop. And so I'm not going to get into explaining that to someone that's just a casual or just a friendly, like, oh, what happened? Like, I just say, like, when I just say, oh, you know, we decided to end it. And then I move on to something else. And then, so I would have a fear in my head of like, okay, then like, oh, well, then he didn't make it. He's going back to where he came from. But I'm trying to be strong and I've come to the realization of, yeah, no, I did that. I'm going back to where I was before, but now I have all of these tools and I have all of this experience and all this confidence to keep doing what I was doing when I wasn't doing the podcast,
right?
Just while doing a day job. And then, you know, comedy's at night.
Dude, and I'm so glad you made that distinction, because that's another fear, right? Is that this perception of coming back to this idea of making it. What I think is so interesting is I took a comedy class earlier this year. It was like a workshop, you know, just like comics who've been doing it for a few years.
Uh-huh.
And we had this writer come in who used to work on a television show. And he said, yeah, I was on this television show. I was writing. It was a job. That ended. Now I'm back in corporate. Sometimes I have enough money to sustain myself doing comedy. Sometimes I'm back in corporate. Sometimes, you know, so it's not this like one clean cut of like, mm-mm, now I'm a comedian. Now I'm, it's that you're doing the thing and you're making things, like we said before. So, but I hear you where it's like there is that fear of like this perception of like, oh my God, like all these people are going to look at me and, you know, I'm gonna look like a loser, right? Like I didn't make it, or I'm not good enough, or something like that.
Yeah, and so that's an ego thing that I've killed, or I'm killing.
Yeah,
I'm
no, it's something
middle
it's,
of strangling
you have
right
to
now.
Actively work on it
because
yeah.
I'm just doing what I need to do so that I can make stuff.
Exactly,
and I'm never gonna not make stuff.
Yes,
and so when you stop making stuff, that's when you give up.
That's the. Yeah.
That's when you give up. Dude. That's when you can be like, I gave up.
It's that Seth Rogen interview that went viral, right? It's like, hey, if you keep going, you might quote unquote make it. If you give up, you definitely won't. And that is one that plays so much in my head. The other one I love, and this one might be a little off topic, but like, there's one with Will Ferrell, and he talks about going into stand up, or no, he talks about like pursuing comedy full time and like, you know, going out and doing these things. And he spoke with his dad, and he goes, Dad, do you have, like, any advice? And his dad said what I think is, like, a beautiful answer where he goes, you know, he said, you know, if it was all about talent, I wouldn't worry about you, but there's so much luck involved. So, like, give yourself permission that, like, if you find it's not bringing you joy anymore, to leave, right? So, and Will Ferrell said, like, once he came at it from that perspective and, like, he gave himself that permission to, like, feel that way, he was like, oh, okay, I don't have to feel bad about not making it or anything. It's a really great, people should check it out. It was really, really insightful.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it was really,
that's
really
a good dad.
I know, dude. I thought about that. I was like, oh, that's so, so sweet. Yeah. Ryan, we typically end with what is the advice you would give to someone who's like going through something similar to what you're going through? And I think we covered a lot of it because it seems like you're working through those ideas like actively. What advice, I guess, would you give to someone who, you know, is struggling with the same thing that you are in this case?
My advice is, we talked about this too, is to never stop. There's no it's over unless you say it's over. So like, you know, the thing I'm going through, like that big piece of my life in the creative space ended. Nothing's over for me. Nothing's over for you. If you get a bump in the road, if you bomb on stage, nothing's over. Just like, honestly, just echoing the Seth Rogen thing, just keep going because you're great. And if one person ever came up to you and said, hey, I think you're funny. Hey, I think you're very smart and talented. Hey, I think you got a knack for this. Like, that should only be a little sprinkle on the little cupcake of confidence that you have already baked for yourself because you know you're great. And just, you know, those days of self-doubt and those days of like, ugh, like it's going to be a constant ebb and flow. And you'll learn how to just get through those days a little bit better. They're always going to be there.
Yeah.
They're always going to be there. You're going to have high highs. You're going to have low lows. The lows are going to suck. They're going to suck so much. Sometimes you're going to hate yourself and you're going to be like, I'm so sad and so mad and things aren't going my way. Why aren't they going my way? And then, you know, those emotions happen every once in a while, and then you learn how to deal with that, and you learn to take responsibility and ownership of what you can control. And those high highs are going to feel amazing, and that's just life. Low lows, high highs, and just how you manage them. The highest days aren't going to last forever. The lowest days aren't going to last forever either. Those are the ones where you feel like they are. So just keep going and don't quit. If you like to paint, don't stop. If you like to make sketches, don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop, and don't kill yourself.
Yes, great, good, very good advice.
Don't kill yourself. I've never thought about that or anything, but like, oh my God, just there's something for you to do.
Yeah,
and there's something you like doing, and you should just keep doing it. I get so sad when I see like all these creative people or just you see the overdose and things like, don't do that.
Dude, and that's like, you know, I,
sorry, that was,
no, was a big I know what's no. Cause like as someone who's like suffered from that is very, I'm sure there will be people that like can relate to that. And the other thing is like, there's so much you're going to get out of doing a creative endeavor that doesn't have to do with like your inherent value as a person. The community and the people I have met doing what I love to do and finding people who also love doing it has been so valuable in itself and makes me happy to think that I know all these wonderfully creative people like you who make all this wonderful stuff. And that's, I mean, it's really cool. I could say I know fucking Ryan Lynch, which is awesome.
Matt.
That's so cool. Thanks. Ryan, tell the people where they can find you.
Just like Matt said, find your people that make you feel good.
Yes.
There are people in your life that will make you feel okay. And like you might feel like, okay, well, they don't make me feel bad. So that's okay for them to be a part of my big five. You've seen the analogy. You are the 20% of the five people you hang out with, or you're 20% of what you consume.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if someone's like a neutral, like, not bad, not great, not bad. Like, you know, like there's, you know, you don't need to be an ass. It's not a bad thing that, you know, you don't want to spend time with them anymore. But like, you know, spend your time with people that drive you, inspire you, and support you, and you'll be in a much better spot. So I am Ryan is really polite. My whole vibe is the contrary. Ryan is really polite on social media. Ryan is polite on Twitter. And I'm part of a improv group. We have a show on September 3rd, Steam Room Etiquette, at Dixon Place Theater. If you haven't been to improv before, really cool show. Dip your feet in, get your beak wet. I'll post about it on my socials, but
I'm gonna go DM me. We'll go together.
Yeah, and just you know, kudos to Matt. Matt's a great guy. He is one of the first people to put me on a show, and Matt's a
what do you mean the bookstore show?
Yeah, the first one that you had me on two shows.
Yeah.
The first one was one of the first shows that I got to do.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So thank you for that opportunity.
Oh, dude, you murdered. His physicality on stage is truly, like, it's so fun to watch. So, dude,
thank you. I'm glad I met you. So, I'm glad I'm here on this couch
dude,
with you.
Thank you so much for doing the episode, man. This was fun.
This was a great chat. Really
Ryan, thank you so much, brother. We're going to tag you and everything. And here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
I love that.
Yeah, you like
I love
it?
That.
Oh,
it's a
cool.
Great, that's
I appreciate
a good one.
That, dude.
That's a good goodbye. there's so many goodbyes. Like, all right, see you guys next time. Like, no. I know for a fact that Matt, because he puts so much effort into the things he does, I know for a fact there's been a moment, I wish I could talk to his bathroom mirror. I wish I could talk to the bathroom mirror, because you know there was that little like up-and-coming like high school comedy where like it's a compilation of the guy that's like, hey, do you want to go to the dance? Hey, you want to go to the dance? You did that with what you just said. What did you say? I hope we ended
here's
your
to hoping
night
we left
bit.
You a little higher.
We hope we just left you a little bit higher.
You hear that beat in between? That took.
That's a hold.
That took 50 tries.
Got to get the mirror on the podcast to find out.
Ryan
thank
Lynch,
you, dude. Thank
you're the
you.
Best, man. Absolutely. Here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
No, I'm sorry. No.
No.
Do it right. No. Do your thing. Do it, please.
No.
Give it to him.
All right, one more.
And it's not funny. It's just really cool.
Yeah, it's just.
It's not. I'm not laughing at it. It's just super cool, and it's nice and professional, and like you put effort. So,
here's to hoping we left you a little higher. We did it, dude.
Dude. This was-